The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle at SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
Guys, I'm going to share this with you before I get into what I'm going to share tonight. As I stood back here behind this thing, I almost knocked it over three times. And I'm going to tell you this. Do you guys realize what we just sang? Now, I'm going to tell you this, man. And I'm going to tell you right up front. I may cry when I share. I may cry when I start talking about Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to forgive me for that, because I'm going to tell you right now, men, we don't cry enough. And I know this. When I cry, when God causes me to weep, it keeps this from swelling. I know that's funny, but that's the absolute truth. But I'm thinking this. This weekend, I don't know why you're here. I don't know if you're here just to get away from work for a couple days. I don't know if you're here just to come and see what this is all about. But I'm going to tell you this. Our prayer is, my prayer is for you guys, that you will get closer to Jesus. That you will realize that there's a Jesus who died on a cross for you. He died to redeem you, to restore you. And I pray this, maybe your marriage isn't where it needs to be for you that are married. Maybe you need your marriage restored. I don't know what God has for you this weekend. But our prayer is that you could sing that song with a clear heart and say, it's well with my soul. A good friend of mine at home, he sang that song on a Sunday morning, and he passed away about 2 days later in his living room, had a heart attack 10 days before his 40th birthday. He didn't know that that was coming. But he sang that song, and 2 days later, God took him home. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, we need to be strong, as this conference is called. We need to be strong men that are about Jesus. The world is trying to tell men that we're nothing. The world is trying to tell us that men should be soft and weak and wimpy. Man, we got to be strong. We have to realize that He redeemed us. Every one of us in here, Jesus died for you. And tonight you're going to hear me talk about the word trust a lot. You'll hear me use the word trust as I share some scripture with you, as I talk about my baseball career and what God allowed to happen in my life. But I want to ask you this first. I'm going to tell you, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. When they asked me, when we brought the youth here a few months ago in summer camp, they pulled me aside and asked me if I'd love to share at this men's conference. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if I've slept since. I've been excited about this conference. I'm excited to be here. I got some of my church men down here from Fairview in Sweetwater, Tennessee. And I'm going to tell you this, God has a sense of humor. Amen? I live in Sweetwater or Loudoun, Tennessee, right next to Sweetwater. I grew up in Los Angeles, California. I'm going to tell you this. God's amazing. God has a sense of humor. My last name is Small. You know what I'm saying? That's messed up, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, we serve an amazing God. And I have to do this because you saw the video. That seems like such a long time ago. That was the 2005 year. That makes me just hurt watching that. My low back, I'm going to tell you right now, it makes me hurt just watching that. But what I share with you tonight is a lot of talk about how God worked and moved in my life in that 2005 season, how he got my attention in an amazing way. But I have to know this before I start. Any baseball fans here? Go who? You'll get you another championship in about 108 more years. All right? That's all good. Braves? We'll be praying for you. They're still doing pretty good. It's almost the time for the postseason, but they... Cincinnati Reds. We got my Yankee fans. I was getting it out, man. Let me see the Yankee fans. All right. Now, please, I have to know, any Red Sox fans? Red Sox fan? You see where the exits are in red. You see them now, right? All right. I'm just messing with y'all. But do this for me, too. Raise your hand. I know if you're not a baseball fan, it's okay. I won't come out there and grab you. Raise your hand if you're not a baseball fan. Keep them up. Okay, and I do that for a reason. You can put your hands down because you're embarrassing me. I'm just teasing. I do that for a reason because as you hear me share tonight, you're going to hear me talk about baseball, but I promise you, and for the guys that know me from home, this is not just a baseball story. This is a story how Jesus stepped in and Jesus worked in my life through the game of baseball like I've never seen in my entire life, through 18 years of playing the game professionally. And in 2005, that was the highlight of my career. You saw some highlights from that. In that same year, I went through the lowest darkest time in my baseball career, and it wasn't just about baseball. And you're going to hear me share that tonight. And that story starts like this. On January 7th of 2005, I'm sitting at home as a 33-year-old in baseball years. That's old. 33 without a job. I had just come off of a season with the Florida Marlins, not too good. I had some struggles, had a few injuries. And so I'm sitting at home in January of that 2005 winter, and I don't have a call. There's no team that wants to sign me and bring me into spring training. January 7th is a Friday. My phone rings that morning. My agent, Barry's on the other line. And he says, Smalley, that was my nickname. Smalley, Smalley, you figure it out. He says, I got a team that wants to sign you and bring you to camp, to Major League Camp. And then he said these words. He said, don't let it scare you who I'm going to tell you. And I said, scared? I'm not scared of any team. What does that mean? He said, the New York Yankees want to sign you and bring you to spring training. One word came into my head and popped out of my mouth. Why? Why do the Yankees want to sign me? Here I am, 33. I've been with about 12 different organizations at that time. I've been released by four teams. You all know what released is? You know what getting released is? You all from the South, right? It's not fired, it's getting farred. All right? Y'all getting farred, okay? So, man, I'm going to tell you this, man. God brought me here, and I speak this language. I love talking like y'all. See, I even say y'all. But I have to know, my Tennessee friends can't help me with this. What's a Ewan? Ewans. You ever heard of that? I still can't figure that out. What's that, a little baby sheep or something? I don't know. But so my agent says, I got this team, the Yankees want to sign you. Now, my agent makes this comment. He says, Aaron, I know you're a religious man, okay? My agent Barry was a Jewish man. He was a non-believer. He says I was religious. Let me stop and interject this quite quick. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, amen? It's not a religion, okay? So my agent says, Aaron, you being the religious man that you are, why don't you spend the weekend, you and your wife and your family, you pray over this decision. Call me Monday and let me know if you want to take the job with the Yankees. So I hang the phone up. I call my wife at work. Her name is Macy. And I call, and Macy answers the phone. And I said, Macy, Barry just called. He said that he has a job and he has a team that wants to sign us. Now, you say us. Let me tell you this. It wasn't just me. My wife was 100% in. I'm married the most amazing woman. I'm thankful for her. She was behind me. She prayed for me. She encouraged me. She still does today. So when I say he called and said he had a team for us, it was all, she was all in with us. So she said, you told him you take the job, right? She goes, by the way, what team was it? I hesitated. I said, the New York Yankees. One word came out of her mouth. Why? Y'all heard the story. Yeah, yeah. So she said, you told Barry we'd take the job, right? And I said, no. Well, why not? I said, we'd be praying about it. She said, praying about it? We've been praying about this since the season ended with the Marlins last October, so you call Barry back and tell him you'll take that job. Yeah. Yes, dear. Yeah. So I hung up the phone, I called Barry back, and I said, Barry, we're going to take that job with the Yankees. He goes, man, that was a quick prayer. I had a chance to share this with Barry. I said, Barry, it wasn't about a quick prayer. I said, we've been praying that if God wanted me to stay in the game of baseball, that he would send a team, and he has sent that team, so we're going to take that job. It's hard to share Jesus with the lost world, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you this, it's not the great suggestion, it was the great commission. Jesus said, go. Amen? We got to go. We got to tell people. If you're saved, you don't go out there alone. You got the Holy Spirit, man, living in you. That's, you talk about being strong. That's strong. Man, you restored. You redeemed. You got God's Spirit living in you as a believer. About 4 weeks go by, I head down to Tampa, Florida for spring training. I couldn't wait to get there. I think that was the first one to show up in town. I walked into our locker room, and I start looking around lockers. I found my name, and the first thing I want to find when I find my name is what number did they give me? Because, you know, if they give you like 120 or something, they're thinking, this guy ain't any good, all right? So they told me anyway going down there that basically I had 0% chance of making the team. They said they were bringing me in as an insurance policy. Y'all familiar with AAA, the level below the major leagues? So that's what they told me going in, that I was going to be an insurance policy in AAA. So I find my locker, I'm number 58. Number 58, respectable. Okay, so I'm like, okay, maybe I got some kind of chance. And then I start looking around the locker room and I see names for my Yankee fans. You guys are really like this. I see Mariano Rivera's locker. I see Randy Johnson's locker, Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams. You're ready to jump in pits right now, aren't you? You're getting excited back here. And then I see Alex Rodriguez's locker. And then I look two down from mine, and there's this guy who's a pretty good little shortstop, Derek Jeter. His locker's two down from me. And I'm like, man. And I'm thinking, right there I had this moment. God, why am I here? God had a plan in this. Stay with me. This gets good. I promise. This isn't made up. You can't make this stuff up. So spring training rolls on. 6 weeks later, Joe Torre, the old Yankees manager, calls me in the office. Had the most amazing 6 weeks in baseball of my entire life leading up to that moment. Joe Torre calls me and he says, Smalley, sit down. As he proceeds to shut the door and he sits across the desk from me, I didn't want to sit down because it's always bad news when a coach calls you in and tells you to sit down. So I sit down out of respect for Mr. Torre. I sat down and he begins to say these words, Smalley, you've thrown amazing these 6 weeks. You deserve to be on our pitching staff. He said, no, you deserve to be the opening day starter. He goes, and I'm thinking, man, there's guys in the Hall of Fame right now that are on that pitching staff. And then he said these words, but we're going to send you down to Columbus to AAA, to the minor leagues. I've never been so excited in my life to be demoted at that moment. I'm going to tell you this. Joe Torre knew me. He knew my nickname. He called me Smalley. He knew who I was. But can I share something even better than that? Just like Jeremiah was told by the Lord in the first chapter of verse 5 of Jeremiah, how God told him that I knew you before I even formed you in your mother's womb. God knows me way before I was even formed. He knew you. You were made special. There's one of you that God made. You're unique. He died for you, 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 each one of you. That's an amazing thought. So my thought was this. I'll go down to AAA, and I'm going to keep pitching well. Maybe I'll get a chance to get called up this summer. So I go down, and I start pitching really well, get off to a great start. About my fifth start, towards the end of April of 2005, the night before my fifth start, we had one reporter who covered our team for the newspaper there in Columbus, Ohio. He comes up to me and he says this, Smalley, he said, there's a rumor out of New York that one of their starters has gotten hurt. You're going to pitch your game tomorrow night, and then they're going to bring you up and you're going to fill in the starting rotation for the New York Yankees. I have this thought. That was my response too. I was like, really? I said, man, Jesus, I'm going to get a call to the big leagues to put on pinstripes for the Yankees. Sorry, Red Sox fans. So my thought process is this right here. My thought process at that time when he told me that was, just go out there tomorrow night and do pretty good. That's not a good attitude as an athlete, but I'm thinking, just get through about five or six good innings. And then I had this thought, don't get hurt. If you get hurt, you're damaged goods. They're not going to call you up to the big leagues. They can't use you. So the next night rolls around. I go out and I start pitching. And I have this thought in my mind. I got to get through about five or six good innings. And then I'm going to be in the big leagues wearing pinstripes for the New York Yankees and beating the Red Sox one day. I'm watching y'all back here. So I start pitching that game. First inning. First three hitters. Three up, three down. Second inning. Three hitters up, three hitters down. Third inning. Three hitters up, three hitters down. What am I throwing at this point? A perfect game. Don't cheat me back here by saying no hitter, okay? I'm going to tell you this. I'm throwing a perfect game through three innings. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, get through two more innings, I'm going to be back in the show, baby. I ain't going to dance because I'll hurt myself. If I get through the next two or three innings and just keep this thing rolling, I'm going to be in a Yankees uniform by tomorrow night. I come out for the fourth inning. I start throwing my eight warm-up pitches. About the fifth or sixth warm-up pitch, I feel something tear on the inside of my leg. And it's a warm-up pitch. You're going about 60, 70% just getting ready for the inning. What goes through my mind when I feel that muscle tear in my leg? I'm not going to the big leagues. So they pull me from the game. They send me down to Tampa, Florida to rehab that muscle. While I'm down in Tampa, Florida, two verses from Scripture became so real to me that got me through that situation. And today I still lean on these verses. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I think it's back here for you. Love that. So I claim those verses. I claim those promises. I said, God, I trust you. I know that you died for me. I know that I gave my life to you and you saved me as an 8-year-old boy. I know that you have a plan for my life and I can mess this whole thing up. It's not how much I know, but you know what's best for my life. And I know that you want to direct my steps wherever you want me to go. So I said, God, do what you want to do. I trust you. It's hard to say that sometimes. You can't trust God until you've trusted him with your life in salvation. Amen. Once you're saved, man, you can trust him and he can do amazing things through you. I'm telling you, God wants to bless your life, man. He wants to bless our lives. So I get back to Columbus and I start pitching towards the end of June of that 2005 year. And I'm doing terrible, pitching bad. The front office for the Yankees is making moves. They're calling guys up from AA to the big leagues. They're making trades, just trying to find people that they're trying to get to fill in the rotation up there. And so about the 1st of July, I'm asked to throw an inning on a Sunday afternoon game, and then we're going to have a 3-day break at the end of the first half. On that field that day, I did something I've never done in my life and something I never did before that, never did again after that. I lost it. I came in the 9th inning with a tie game, just going to throw one inning so I'm ready to pitch in 4 days. I lost my temper. I yelled as loud as I could. I was so frustrated. I was so depressed. You guys know we have an enemy? Satan's our enemy. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants you to be ineffective as a believer. He doesn't want you to walk around and realize that you're strong and that you're redeemed. He wants you to be down and depressed and out. He put these thoughts in my head at that point. He said, look how you're acting. He said, look at you. You're acting like you're telling people about Jesus, trying to lead Bible studies, and look how you're acting on this field. Guys, I felt about that big. I got in my truck, and I drove back home to East Tennessee for the 3-day All-Star break. When I started driving home, I told myself that I'm done with this game. I quit. I hate that word, quit. God did not create us to be quitters. Amen? He's got a purpose for our lives. And a lot of times we think things should work out a certain way and we don't understand what's going on, but God has a purpose in what he's doing. We have to trust him. Amen? So when I got home for those 3 days, I didn't tell my wife, I didn't tell my parents and my good friends that I was going to quit and walk away from baseball. But down in my heart, in my soul, I knew I was done because I could not go back and play with the attitude that I had. There was selfishness. There was pride. Guys, pride can be a dangerous thing. As men, sometimes, like I say, we don't cry enough. We don't weep enough. We don't think about and rejoice thank Jesus for what he's done in our lives. I'm going to tell you this, pride can destroy you. Huh? Pride comes before a fall, as we read in Scripture. God doesn't want us to walk around telling everybody how great we are. And that's not what this is tonight. This is all pointing to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So on that 3-day break, I knew that I wasn't going back home or not going back to play. And I decided that in my heart. That Thursday morning rolls around. I'm supposed to pitch that night in Columbus, Ohio. I'm still laying in bed at 7:30 in the morning. God told me to get out of bed. God ever tell you to do something? You go, God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, God. This is going to be too hard. I don't want to go back and face my teammates. I don't want to go back after the way I've acted. I don't want to go back. But God told me, get out of bed. Get in your truck. He didn't say these literal, actual words that I heard, but he spoke that into my soul. So I got in my truck and I started driving back to Columbus, Ohio. I got about two hours away from home, and I got so down. I was crying. I was just broken. God, I don't want to do this. Man, isn't it great to have a brother in Christ that you can lean on, that you can talk to? I didn't want to call my wife at that time and tell her the thoughts I was having. I didn't want to call my dad or my mom and tell them what I was going through. So I called a friend of mine in Columbus, and I called this friend. His name is Bruce. I said, Bruce, I'm driving back to Columbus. Man, I don't want to come back. I almost turned around my truck 2 or 3 times to come home. I don't want to come and finish this season up. I'm just down on baseball. I'm down on how I've become. I'm down how I've just, I felt like I let God down. I felt like I was disobedient. I felt like, man, God, I've been prideful and all these things. I said, would you pray for me? So as I'm driving my truck, Bruce is praying for me. And I'm driving and I'm praying, but my eyes were open. Yeah, I believe in faith, but come on now, we have common sense. I don't know what Bruce was praying, but I know that I was praying Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I said, God, I trust you. And I said, first of all, I said, God, I'm sorry for the way I've acted. I'm sorry for my attitude. Help me to go and just be a light for you and finish up this next 3 months in this season in Ohio, and then I'll go home and retire if that's what you want me to do. Prayer was over, and I said, God, you ever felt that peace? You ever felt that peace that only God can bring when you ask him? That's awesome stuff, isn't it? It's awesome when God does something, he shows up just an amazing way. But you know, he always wants to work in amazing ways, but we get in the way. You know what I'm saying? We get in the way. Our attitudes, our pride, our selfishness. At that moment, I felt this release, and I just felt this peace come over me. I said, God, I can't wait to pitch tonight. I'm so excited to get there and pitch for that team in Columbus. I'm going to go out there and pitch with the attitude that glorifies you. I walk into the locker room about 4 o'clock for that 7 o'clock game that night. First thing I see on the back wall is the lineup card. It has 1 through 9 listed. At the bottom, it has SP. Y'all know what SP is? Starting pitcher. Never forget this as long as I live. It had my last name written down small with the line drawn through my name and another pitcher's name on our team written above my name. What's going through my mind? I'm about to get released. I was 1-4. That was my record at that time. 1-4 with a 4.96 ERA. That stinks, doesn't it? That's not deserving. That's pretty bad, isn't it? That don't deserve any call-up. That deserves getting sent home and being done with the game. At 33, almost 34 years old, that didn't deserve any kind of reward or anything or a promotion. About that time, our manager at that time was Bucky Dent. Y'all remember Bucky Dent? Some of you older guys shaking your head? Red Sox fans hate Bucky Dent because he hit a very meaningful home run back in the day against your team. But that's another story. Bucky Dent sticks his head out of his office door. He looks down the hallway and sees me. He says, Smalley, get down here. I need to talk to you. What am I thinking at this time? I feel this fear. You ever been so scared that you feel your heart start moving up into your throat? Can I encourage you with this? That fear is not from the Lord. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Man, hang on to those verses. You talk about some powerful verses about being strong, realizing you're redeemed and you're restored. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. We're not to walk around defeated and act like we're scared. We're supposed to walk around like we love a God who's amazing. And we want to treat our wives that way and our children that way and coworkers that way and whoever we come in contact with. We want to love them to Jesus. Amen? So Bucky calls me and says, Smalley, sit down as he shuts the door. I don't want to sit down because I know bad news is coming. Out of respect for Mr. Bucky Dent, I sat down as he shut the door and sat down across the desk from me. And he says these words, Smalley, you've been pitching pretty bad lately. I said, Bucky, I appreciate you saying that. I know that. He goes, Smalley, you lost your mind on the field 4 days ago. I said, yeah, I appreciate you bringing up that memory also. He said, you're pitching against the Rangers next Wednesday in Texas for the New York Yankees. This next picture you'll see up here was that night that I put on this uniform and I walked out onto the field in Arlington, Texas, and I laid in the outfield grass before I started my warm-up routine and I had a little talk with Jesus. They should write a song about having a talk with Jesus, huh? And I said these words. I said, Jesus, I don't know why I'm here. I almost quit 6 days ago. Now I'm putting on a New York Yankees uniform. I'm about to pitch on ESPN Game of the Week tonight in front of all these people. I didn't pray to win. I didn't pray to do good. I said, Jesus, help me glorify and bring honor to your name tonight. Amen. That's all I said. I walk out there and I pitch 6 full innings. We end up winning, beating the Rangers. I think it was 11-4. We blew them out. Tough team. I get into the locker room. I start taking off my uniform top after the game. And I feel all these bright lights on the back of my head. That's a lot of warmth. That's a big head, I know. And I turn around. I hear all these clicking noises. And it's these reporters. There's probably 25 or 30. There might have been 50 or 60 as far as I'm concerned. Man, that whole area by my locker was full of reporters who wanted to interview me. They held out their phones, their microphones, their recorders, big camera lights on. And they said these words, Mr. Small. And I went. I said, my dad's not here. Call me Aaron, please. Aaron, whoever you are, wherever you just came from, and you just did this on this field for the New York Yankees because they're struggling right now trying to find pitching, and you just won a game for them on national TV. How did that feel? All the microphones go out. I couldn't talk. I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. The hard part was over. I beat a good Rangers team that year. I heard a voice. It wasn't that same voice speaking to me when I lost it on the field that day. I heard a voice down in my soul. I heard the Lord speaking to me, and he said four words. Don't forget about me. That's all he said. So I told all those reporters, I said, I'm going to stay here and answer all your questions tonight. But I said, let me tell you this before I answer the first question. I want to say I thank God for what happened tonight. 6 days ago, I almost quit. And I said, with God, all things are possible. Amen. They didn't want to hear it. Okay? God will tell you to share about his son, he said. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He said, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. What is it? I have overcome the world. We have victory in Jesus. Amen? They should write a song about that too. So I share that with you because when the Lord impresses on you to share the gospel with somebody, share about Jesus' love, it's not easy. You're not alone. You're saved, man. You got his spirit with you. You talk about being strong. You're powerful. You can do all things through Christ who gives you that strength. Amen? I answered their questions. Night was over. Let me fast forward about a month later. Actually, about 6 weeks later, this next picture you'll see, I'm pitching in New York against the hated Red Sox. All right. I know Red Sox fans, wake up. This is where it gets really good. I'm pitching on a Friday night ESPN game in the Bronx, and we're four games behind the Red Sox in the division early September of that 2005 year. I walked out onto that mound. I've never been at such peace in my entire life on a baseball field. It's not me. God was directing the ball when I threw it. You watched that highlight video earlier, and I look at that and I go, God, why did you allow me to have that success for that short time in 2005? I wasn't throwing harder. When I was younger, I threw about 10 miles an hour harder than I was throwing right there. I said, but God, why are you allowing me to play with such an amazing team and this amazing teammates and future Hall of Famers? And you're letting me do this on this stage. You know what the answer is? It's about him. It's all about him. I pitched into the seventh inning, got two outs in the seventh inning, gave up a broken bat, hit to Johnny Damon. He hit a ball. He broke his bat in about 20 places, maybe two, but I like to say 20. It just sounds better. It's like the exaggerating the fishing story, you know what I mean? Johnny Damon hits a ball over our first baseman's head, Jason Giambi. The ball doesn't even reach the outfield grass. It hits the infield dirt. Johnny gets an infield hit. I look over at him. He goes, I'm like, that's terrible. Joe Torre walks out to take me out of the game. 56,000 people stand to their feet, and they start cheering my name. As I'm walking off that field, I promise you, my knees started shaking. Man, the hard part was done. I just threw almost seven strong innings against the Boston Red Sox in front of all these people on national TV in New York in Yankee Stadium. I'm walking to the dugout, and I get over the foul line, the chalk line at first, and I look into our dugout, and I see this big white camera with four red letters on it, ESPN, and the light was on. You know what that means when the red light's on? It what? Is that what you think it means? Recording? To me, it meant don't fall down, Jack, because everybody's watching. You know what I'm saying? That's the truth. I thought, man, I'm telling you, my knees were shaking. I got to the dugout. I'm high-fiving guys, shaking hands. Randy Johnson's way up here. Hi, he's 6'10", short guy. I sit down in the dugout. I begin to look around and take in this entire scenario. And I start to cry. All right? I just pitched seven innings for the New York Yankees on Friday night in September of 2005, and we're going to win this game because we're killing them. And I start crying. Why am I crying? Because I start to look around. I said, God, why are you blessing me through this game of baseball? It's a game that I love. Don't just sit here and think, oh, it's just a baseball game. No, it's not. I had passion for the game. It's where God had placed me on that mission field at that time. And he was blessing my life after I was obedient to him. You see, before I was trying to do it my own way when I said, God, I trusted you as a little boy when I gave my life to you. But earlier that season, I said, I don't trust you. I think I'm going to try to do this on my own. We mess up every time, don't we? We mess it up every time. So God was just waiting for me to get out of the way and to say, God, I trust you. I acknowledge you. I know that you have plans for my life. I know you're going to direct my steps. Lord, I love you and I trust you. So I get back to my apartment in New York City. My mom called me and she said, son, I saw the game on TV. You did really good. I said, thanks, Mom. She goes, let me ask you a question. Were you crying? Y'all know my answer, right? Huh? There's no crying in baseball. Come on, y'all know it. The younger guys, Brady, y'all thinking, man, I don't know what that means. That's from a movie, man. That's good stuff. Right, Parker? That's good stuff. I said, Mom, yeah, I was crying. I said, because I'm looking out and I'm thinking about what God had done in my life through a baseball game. He just waited for me to be obedient. I said, that's an amazing thing. Man, we got to get out of the way and let God work. The next day, this next picture, this was in the paper the next day. This picture was calling me the new ace. Man, that team had fun with that. Randy Johnson, man, he wore me out over that. I said, Randy, I'm not the ace, brother. I said, man, God's blessing my life and giving me a great run here for a couple months with this amazing team, but I'm far from the ace. I'll tell you that right now. Let me fast forward as I wind up the baseball part of this talk. The next slide, you'll see that it talks about I was a 10-0 in, no, actually, that's not the right one. We'll go back. That's all right. We'll hide that one. It's not up there. That's the hard part to talk about in just a minute. In that year, I went 10-0 for the New York Yankees, 10 wins, no losses. It's a major league record. Only four guys in the history of baseball have ever done that in a season with 10 or more wins. I was the only one out of the four to do that in half a year. I promise it wasn't me. Amen. Shout, brother. It was God, man. It was the Lord working. I'm telling you, He was waiting for me to get out of the way. Amen. I retired the next spring, had a hamstring injury. 35 years old, 34, 35 years old, retired. Went home. God called us, sent my wife and I into youth ministry. We were at Fairview with these, got some of our youth here tonight. Love these guys. But I'm going to share one last story. And this one's a little tougher to talk about. On June 6th of 2009, it was a Saturday afternoon, we had a pool party at my house. Some of you guys remember that. Rusty, you remember this really well. We had a pool party at my house. And my wife tells me, because I don't remember what happened, but she tells me that at 5 o'clock, I had a towel over my head and that they were trying to get my attention and I was unresponsive to anything anybody said. She said shortly after that, I stood up really slow and I walked over to her and I said, I don't feel well. I'm going to go in and take a shower and go to bed. I don't remember saying those words. The next morning, my wife and kids went to church and they came back home after church and they found me upstairs of our house. I'd taken all my clothes off, except my underwear, and I was sweating out of my mind. I had a fever that had spiked so high. You'll see this picture. They rushed me to University of Tennessee Medical Center, where they placed me in a drug-induced coma for 8 days. The doctors had no idea what was wrong with me. They were asking my wife a million questions. Has he been out of the country? Where's he been? What's he been doing? What's this spot on his leg? I mean, they were asking a million questions. The doctors could not figure out what was wrong with me. I know one who knew what was going on. It was no accident that I was laying in that hospital. God had a plan in this as well. There's a picture, should be up after this, that shows me awake. It's a little bit darker, but I had just come to right there and come out of that coma after spending 8 days in that coma, where they had told my wife and I that I had contracted an illness called encephalitis. I didn't know what encephalitis was, but it was apparently something I had, like a flu virus in my chest that got into my brain and caused swelling on my brain. There was family members, when I came out of that, there was family members in the room. I didn't recognize them. I didn't recognize some family members. That's how messed up my brain was. It wasn't an accident that I laid in that hospital. That's hard to say. When the room cleared out, I remember my wife in my face. She was crying. I was crying, but I'm gonna tell you this. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't touch my nose with my fingertip if I wanted to. I'd hit back here somewhere. They were feeding me through a tube that went through my nose, through the back of my throat. When that room cleared out, my wife and I said a prayer. She prayed. I prayed from here because I couldn't even talk. I had to learn how to talk and walk again and how to eat again. We prayed this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We said, God, I don't understand why Aaron's laying here in this bed. We trust you. We acknowledge who you are. We know nothing. We don't understand anything about this. But Lord, you direct his steps if that's what you want to do. God could have taken me home right there. And I want to say that I could have sang that song, It Is Well With My Soul. That's where I want to be. They didn't ask me to speak here tonight because I have it all figured out. I don't. I'm trying to draw closer to Jesus every day. It's a tough world we live in, man. It's tough to pick your Bibles up sometimes. We get busy. That should be a bad word. We get busy. Yeah, we're God's blessed with jobs. But man, we can't be too busy for the King who died for us. Amen? People ask me to this day after going through that illness, they'll say, are you normal? And I notice my guys up front here, Noah especially, you guys are laughing the hardest because these guys know that I've never been normal. But you know the Bible calls us peculiar people as Christians? You know what that word means? Strange. I fit it well. So guys, I'm going to tell you this. Trust God with your life. And the world thinks we're weird. I want to be weird for Jesus. We get too concerned, not just young men, middle-aged men, older men. We get too concerned with what people think. Amen? We shouldn't care about what they think that we're sharing. Yeah, we want them to understand and care about that. But when they think that we're weird for sharing the gospel about what Jesus did, tell them about the promises that he's promised in his scripture and how he has a great plan for their life here and after this life, a lot of people are going to think we're weird. But man, we got to be strong. We have to realize that we've been redeemed. We've been bought with a price. Amen? Let me pray for you guys, and we're going to do a little bit more worship as we close. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for tonight. I thank you for these men. Lord, I pray that this weekend that each one of us would hear from you in a special way. And Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't just come and look for a good time, but Lord, we would come here looking for more of you. Lord, I pray that tonight and this weekend that there may be somebody here that doesn't even know you and they want to know you, Jesus. So I pray, Lord, that the rest of this weekend that we would draw closer to you, that we will have a burning desire to hear from you. Lord, I pray that these men will be set on fire going back home for you, that we would burn for you. Lord, give us more passion than we've ever had to be strong, to realize that we are redeemed, that we go home on fire and we would love our wives more than we ever have. We would share the gospel more than we ever have. We would love our children more than we ever have. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would just enjoy this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.